Welcome to the Gospel of Everything podcast, where we consider everything in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am your host, John Davis. On this show, we do not obsess over the end of the world, but rather we are looking to see the glory of God show up in every area of our lives. We are not waiting to go down in glorious defeat. We are expecting to win. I want to talk to you about the lordship of Jesus in the area of your thoughts and your opinions. In the culture that we currently live in, the general idea is that you're supposed to respect the opinions of others. And there's this kind of feeling like all opinions are equal, all opinions are true. We just need to value one another in our opinions. And while I believe there is some truth to the fact that we need to value people, we need to value people regardless of their opinions. We need to respect people as we listen to and consider their opinions. But are all opinions equal? Of course, that might depend on opinions about what, right? If it's an opinion about a preference or something you like one way or the other, or maybe a personal priority, well, yeah, then maybe all opinions are equal in a sense. But what if it's an opinion about reality, or what if it's an opinion about something ethical? Are all of those opinions equal? Are we as Christians supposed to respect all beliefs and all opinions? And again, I wish to highlight the difference between respecting the person, sharing the opinion or the belief or the religious perspective, versus the actual perspective. I am not fully convinced that it's possible to be fully Christian and kind of believe that all opinions are equal or all opinions are true. Christianity seems to me to be preoccupied at times with truth and reality. There's an actual reality. I used to show a clip in my worldview class when I was teaching in India, or still when I'm teaching in India. And in that clip, it's a clip of Richard Dawkins and Bill O'Reilly having a conversation. And I kind of, tricked them a little bit, because you may be surprised, or it may be unexpected, who is telling the truth here. But in essence, Bill O'Reilly says, Jesus is right for me. Jesus is right for me. And Richard Dawkins says, well, aren't there some things that are the same truth for everybody? Isn't there a reality that is true for everybody? And of course, Richard Dawkins is the famous atheist, and Bill O'Reilly is in some degree there representing Christians. And in this case, the atheist got it right. There is such a thing as objective reality. There is such a thing as objective truth. There are some things that are true, regardless of whether you believe it, regardless of whether I believe it, regardless of whether or not I or you were ever born. Do you believe that? I'm going to try and illustrate that a little bit, but let's start by, I want you to think, where do your opinions come from? Where do your thoughts come from and your ideas? We are all, for our entire lives, inundated with a worldview, which is just a set of thoughts and ideas that we use to interpret the world around us. You received your ideas from your parents, from the television, from school, from your friends, movies, TV, music, books. You received it from everywhere. You were being inundated your whole life with ideas. Some of the values and the ideas that you have, you may have never even heard them spoken. They're so deeply ingrained in you. It's not that someone told you this is the way it is, but just by what you saw every day and how things were done, communicated certain values or priorities And they get into you on a deep level. And I think maybe in some cases there aren't even words for those ideas. I was thinking recently about being on a bus, full of Brazilians and some Americans in Brazil. And the Americans, when it came time to eat, all pulled out their own little lunch packets. Whereas the Brazilians had, you know, big piles of food to share with everybody. Now, my point right now is not to judge the Americans or the Brazilians and say one of these is better or worse, but just to observe what happened. Why did all of the Americans have their own little lunch for just them, each person? And why did the Brazilians have a big lunch to share? And again, don't be distracted by trying to decide which of these is good and which is bad. I would suggest neither of these are morally right or wrong in this case. But there are values and ways of doing things in American culture that maybe no one ever told you. And one of those things is everybody brings their own lunch. Why? Why is that? And I learned on that Brazilian bus that if I pull out a bag of Doritos, I better be ready to pass it around. And I'm probably only going to get a few because the whole bus is going to eat the rest of them. So you have been absorbing opinions and ideas your whole life. One of the things that I want to try and persuade you of or get you to think about today, if you're a Christian, you probably already believe this, but I'm hoping to drive it home more and challenge you in your thinking, is to make Jesus Christ Lord of your thoughts and opinions and ideas. To make Jesus Christ Lord of your thoughts and opinions and ideas. Most likely, you think he already is. I know I've been striving for that my whole life, to make Jesus the Lord of my thoughts and opinions and ideas. But I still find sometimes that there are thoughts and ideas inside me that they need to change. I am a little bit mystified. I don't fully understand why I don't meet more people that are kind of obsessively consumed with truth. I'm not sure I understand why I don't meet more Christians like that. It seems like most of the people I meet are satisfied with whatever they were told and whatever they've been taught. There's not really a quest and a hunger for knowledge and truth. And I would say a form of repentance. A thirst for a form of repentance, which is I always want to be repenting in my thoughts. I always want to be changing my thoughts and my opinions and my attitudes and my feelings into being submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, right? But I think maybe on a, I don't know, subconscious or semi-conscious level, even we as Christians have absorbed the popular cultural concept that there is no objective truth. Different religions and beliefs take that to different levels. I mean, there are some religions that basically believe that everything is that you see and perceive and experience as an illusion, Maya. It's an illusion. It's not even really there. It's like reality is not something that can be objectively known. I remember as a young man reading Francis Schaeffer and learning that at the core of truth is believing in reality, believing that there is a reality, which is a faith thing, by the way. Believing that reality is real. There's something really there. Well, as a Christian, where does your truth come from? Where do you get truth? And I suppose all of you are going to know the kind of, generic answer, well, the Bible, right? Or from God. But do you really believe that? If you're having a discussion with someone and they have an idea and you have an idea, do you ever analyze that according to the Bible and what the Bible teaches? Do you ever analyze that according to truth? I remember taking a course on missions with my staff during a missions school back in the, I think it was the late 90s. Yeah, it was in the late 90s. And it was a course that I had positive feelings towards and a positive attitude towards. But when we started going through the course, The whole time I was reading the materials, I was asking myself, is this truth? Is this reality? Is this what God actually says? Is this actually what the Bible teaches? Is this real? And we came together for our discussion, and each person on the team would share their thought, right? Hey, this is what I got out of the reading. This was my thought. These are my ideas. And we were sharing around, and we got to me, and I was the first person who said, well, I really, you know, was encouraged by this and thought this. I kind of wonder, though, if this is true. I'm not saying it isn't true, but this part here, is this really true? And one of the other leaders actually looked a little bit surprised and said, you know, it didn't even occur to me to ask whether or not this is true. It didn't even occur to me to ask if this content was true. I was just receiving. This is how you are taught to learn. The person up front talks and you receive their knowledge. This is how we've all been taught to learn in our culture. But is there a higher source of truth? Is there a higher source of knowledge that we should always be looking to as a filter and evaluation of everything we see, everything you see in books, everything you see in the news, everything you see in movies and entertainment, everything that you see here coming out of your own mouth? Is there some way to analyze that and to think, is this the truth? Is this reality? Can someone find truth without the Bible? Can someone find truth without God? Is the truth just out there and anybody can observe it? I know that I've been a part of discussions about whether or not education needs to have a Christian basis. And I've had friends say, well, do you need a Christian basis to learn math or science or history or reading and writing? And I would say, yeah, you do need a Christian basis for those things. And let's talk about a couple of verses about this. Proverbs 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Okay, so Proverbs 1, 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's the first half of the verse. Proverbs 9, 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm going to read the whole one for Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. So, at the foundation of knowledge and wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Knowing God, knowing who He is, respecting who He is. This leads me to an idea that I have been contemplating for many years, which is, how do you know what is real? How do you know what is true? A lot can be said about that, but I want to argue this to you for your consideration, that ultimately, the way you know something is by faith. Ultimately, the way you know something is true is by faith. No, wait a minute. I thought, you know, faith was like a blind believing something that has no reasons behind it or something like that. Faith is choosing to believe for whatever the reason. Faith is choosing to believe. It's believing, right? So the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So I'm submitting to you that knowing God and knowing who He is at the core and center of all knowledge. Faith in God is at the core of knowledge and wisdom. Without faith in God, you do not have a foundation upon which to seek knowledge and wisdom. You do not have a foundation upon which to seek truth. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus literally defined truth as a person. He is the truth. Jesus is the truth. Way back in Exodus chapter 3, when God was calling Moses at the burning bush and telling him, you're going to go and get the people set free, Moses says, who are you? Who do I tell them has sent me? And God responds by saying, I am who I am. Tell them that I am has sent you. And then he goes on to basically say, tell the Israelites, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, has sent you. Now, there's a lot out there about exactly what does this mean, this name I am, and this name Yahweh, which is like a perhaps a play on the words I am. But let me tell you what I see. I'll submit to you what I see, and you can think about this and read your Bible and decide for yourself. And I'm not the first one to think this. But God is the core of existence. God is the center of existence. All existence proceeds from him. His very name is the being verb. I am. He identified himself as the one who is, so to speak. I am. The great I am. This is how he identified himself. Without him, it says in the New Testament that without Jesus, without him, nothing that has been made has been made. All creation, all existence flows from God. Knowing God, believing God, fearing the Lord is the foundation of all wisdom and knowledge. Your faith in the one true God is the anchor for everything else. Your faith in the one true God is the anchor for everything else. Isn't it interesting that Christianity and conversion starts by believing something? It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Acts chapter 16, they answered, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. So believing is like at the core of knowledge and wisdom. Now, some important thoughts on faith. I am not saying, because there's some other ideas out there, I am not saying that faith creates reality. I am not saying that by believing something, you cause something to become true. I am convinced, because of the Bible, that there is an existent truth that is there regardless of what I believe. What is real whether I believe it or not, whether you believe it or not. So we can argue till the cows come home, but there's something that is true and something that is real out there. But ultimately, at some level, in order to know this, you have to have faith. You have to have faith. Now, wait a minute. What about a non-religious person who says, no, I don't have any faith. I believe in everything based on reason. Well, even believing something based on reason is a belief in something based on faith. You're putting faith in your reasoning faculties. You're putting faith in your senses, in your ability to observe, in your ability to hear and understand words, and you're believing that the words and the sounds mean something. You're believing that the letters on the page mean something. At some level, you're choosing to believe. You're choosing to believe on some core level. So at the core of your being, you believe things. You may not know why you believe them. Some of it you may be designed to believe. You're designed to believe what comes in through your eyes. You're designed to believe what comes in through all of your senses, right? You're designed to believe it. You hear it, you see it, you touch it, you believe it. On a deeper level, we as human beings are designed to know God. So there is in the same way that you can sense natural things with your physical senses, there's some part of us that senses and knows God is there. But ultimately, to know him is a choice of faith. It's a choice to believe. And you believe based on the faculties that God has given you. So it's not necessarily blind faith in the way that people use that phrase. We often use the phrase blind faith to mean like arbitrary faith. I believe this just because I want to believe it, or because I want it to be true, or because my mother told me. But there is a supernatural faith that God has put in you to believe Jesus, to believe the story of the Bible, to believe God. So believing is at the core of knowing truth. Fearing the Lord, respecting the Lord, is at the core of knowledge. Respecting the Lord is at the very core of wisdom. This is where it all comes from. So here is my question for you. Have you made Jesus the Lord of your beliefs? And even more importantly, do you have an ongoing for the rest of your life commitment to be daily making Jesus the Lord of your thoughts and your ideas and your opinions? You may not know this, you may not see this right now, but I am going flat against the culture here, where we're all sitting in a room and everyone shares their opinion and we're supposed to look at it all equally. Although this discussion is not primarily about how to treat people in this sense, I believe we should treat people with respect, even if they're saying crazy opinions. But it isn't their opinion that we're respecting. We're not pretending everything that everyone is saying is the truth. I would like to rebuild a truth-based culture. Well, wait a minute. Shouldn't it be a love-based culture? Well, the Bible talks about speaking the truth in love. These things come together. If you're loving without the truth, it isn't really love. You could harm people. You could tell them things out of a feeling, a warm, fuzzy feeling of love, but it's a destructive force in their life that you have unleashed because you told them lies. I suppose you could try and tell someone something that's true but have no love in you, but is it fully true if the motive behind God's revelation of that truth was love, but you're saying it without love? Truth and love go hand in hand. They are not in competition with one another. But I want to invite you to make a core commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your thoughts and in your opinions. This is a lifestyle of lifelong repentance. Somehow, I don't know if I'm doing a good job of this or not, but somehow I want to impart to you, my victorious Christian ambassadors, my listeners, that you have got to have a lifelong habit of being reformed in your thoughts, and not just intellectual information, the thoughts of your heart. Notice in the passages about salvation that it's talking about believing in your heart. Belief is deeper than just intellectual assent to certain information. There's an inner part of you that embraces what is true instead of what is false. This is a lot to do with what repentance is, right? Let's talk about Romans chapter 12. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So I want you and me to not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but rather to evaluate our own thoughts. Oh, I love to start with myself first. When I'm learning, when I'm listening, when I'm trying to read my Bible and discern God's will and God's ways, something that is very important to me is that I am being changed by the truth. I am not looking for the truth that I want to find, if that makes sense. Think about this next time you read your Bible. Are you analyzing the Bible and judging the Bible? Or are you looking to have the Bible judge you? Are you looking to have the content of the Bible and the teachings change you? What if you find something in the Bible that you don't like? This has happened to me. There are cultural values that we have now where sometimes you will run into something in the Bible that seems to go right in the face of that cultural value. And it goes even against our cultural values of what is love. Because love nowadays has to do with warm, fuzzy feelings for people, as opposed to an objective interest in their well-being, which would include compassion and sensitivity as well, right? I am imagining a man right now who believes himself to know the truth. He believes himself to be committed to the truth. He speaks out his theological ideas, his political opinions. He speaks out his perspectives on everything around him, and he's convinced that he has the truth. But does he? Does he really know God? Does he really have the fear of the Lord? Does he really have respect for God? Does he really have a core faith in God? I have to say, if there isn't some sign of humility and understanding that I am capable of being wrong, I, John Davis, am not the arbiter of truth. I am not the definer of truth. My words and my teachings are not what defines truth. I do strive. I strive to get it right. I'm trying, when I study my Bible and prepare a teaching, or in this case, a podcast, I am trying to understand before God with as humble of a heart as I can, trusting God to humble my heart even more, what is true, what is real. Who cares what my opinion is? Maybe that would be a great title for this episode. Who cares what your opinion is? Who cares what my opinion is? The goal is to replace our opinions with God's. Now, I'm not talking about your opinion of whether you prefer white chocolate or dark chocolate or milk chocolate. God has given us certain areas where we get to have our own opinion, and it's okay. We're designed that way. But when it comes to reality and ethics, and what God wants of us, there is something real. Gravity, whatever it is, whatever the debate is about exactly what is gravity and how does it work, whatever it is a description of something that is real. You can believe or say whatever you want, but when you step off the top of that building, you will deal with reality. In the same way that these natural laws that we observe are the reality of the natural world, Christianity is actually a description of reality. It is not a religion among many. It is not a sociological phenomena, kind of like other sociological phenomena that are also called religions. Now, when I say Christianity in this context, I don't mean like the sociological group called Christians as analyzed by a sociologist. I mean the teachings and revelations of God through the Bible. That is what Christianity is at its core. It is the revelation of God. I am not the representation of Christianity. No one person is, but the whole of the revelation of Christ has come through God's word, and there is our objective truth. God himself is our objective truth, and his written word is his revelation of his objective truth. Let us commit ourselves every day to being reformed in the thoughts of our hearts. I don't want to be that man. It's a fictional man, okay? But it's probably parts of me too. It's probably parts of you. But I no longer want to be that man who is so convinced that he has the truth that he's not allowing God to break up his heart and make fallow ground out of his heart and receive truth from God. When we go to God for instruction, we don't go to God to inform him. We go to God to receive from him, to be changed by him. There's a humility and a repentance and a brokenness there. And from what I can see, someone who has this brokenness has a quest inside for the real, for reality, for what's actually true. I always, even if it's unpleasant, I want to know what is reality, what is true, what can I count on, what can be my anchor. God is my anchor. His revelation is my anchor. So I hope this makes you think. I want to urge you to look into your own heart and ask yourself, am I repentant? Do I have an inner core commitment to be reformed and be changed into believing what is true? Do I have an inner core commitment to taking what I believe and having that systematically altered, changed, replaced by what God believes? Do you have that core commitment, or do you just have a set of opinions and beliefs that you're spouting to the world and you like it that way? This is something very serious to think about. I invite you to think about it. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode. And I look forward to talking to you again next time. God bless. Thank you, friend, for taking your valuable time to listen to the Gospel of Everything podcast today. I hope you have been blessed and encouraged and have more hope for the future. Make sure right now to take a moment to subscribe in your favorite app. If you don't ever want to miss a thing, please visit gospeloveverything.com and subscribe to be notified by email as well. See you again next week for the next episode of the Gospel of Everything podcast. Be blessed.